This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 135, recorded on September 12th, 2013. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we host the show with world-class show notes each week out at theAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions or comments or contributions, you can just contact the show, send me an email, podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. Track me down on Twitter @JCollison or follow the show schedule at our Twitter account @TheAverageGuy.tv. You can also join us for live chat during the show over at theAverageGuy.tv/live, right below the live stream window. Love to have you join us on a mobile device, phone, tablet, any of those things. We got some low bandwidth options available for you as well over at theAverageGuy.tv/live. They don't all work, but give it a try if you'd like. We'd love your feedback on it as well. We also have a new YouTube high bandwidth page as well. Just go to theAverageGuy.tv, look at the upper right-hand corner. You'll see a link. It'll say YouTube high bandwidth, and you can get all the HD glory except for me. I can't seem to keep my camera in HD. Thanks, Mike Howard. And all the options are out there at theAverageGuy.tv. All right, we got a full house tonight. Lots to talk about. Thanks for coming around tonight. And I'll start over to my left, and we'll just say all the way from Melbourne, Australia, Andrew Morris. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to see you. To his right, and fresh in school, Christian Johnson. Christian, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys.
Good. Good to see you in the dorm room. It is a mess, by the way.
It is not a mess. That's just the upper bed right there up on top.
Come on, dude. You have a obligation to uphold in that dorm room.
All right. We're just going to dispel this right now. I mean, you can clearly hold on. Now the cables are making me look like a liar. You can clearly see all that floor space. It's so clean and perfect, right?
Did it come with a cat?
Right. I think we can agree.
Okay. No, yeah, okay, it's clean. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. To his right, and we haven't had him on in a while, and all the way from Las Vegas.
Oh, Greg Walsh. I can't hear anyone.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Doing good.
Good to see you. It's been a while. It has been a while. We lost Christian. We lost you, Christian. Plug back in. He's going to keep saying hello and try until he gets it all figured out. Greg, has it been hotter than hell there in Las Vegas?
Oh, well, no, it was, but the last 2 weeks, it's been raining like you wouldn't believe.
Speaking of rain, that's where Kevin Schoonover's at. He's in the middle of all things rain in the Denver area. Who would have thought Denver would have had flash flood warnings? Kevin, how are you? Are you staying dry?
Good. Now that I'm in the hotel, I am. It's the rainy season here.
It's the monsoon season in Denver. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought, right?
First experience ever at lunch today, there was a mosquito on the table in front of me. I've never seen a mosquito in Denver before in my life.
That is crazy. If you haven't been to Denver before, very dry. And it must have come out. This must be like the one time in a decade that it rains, the mosquitoes come out, they'll die in a couple days. And then it will be done. What are you doing in Denver, Kevin?
Just some conferences, sales calls. Was guest speaker at an end user forum today, so nice. Had some fun with that.
And what were you speaking on?
Trends in IT. Spent some time, Christian will like that we spent quite a bit of time on big data, data center convergence, mobility, virtual desktop, and bring your own device. And then what we're verbing as next generation security products.
Very cool. And how long are you there for?
Just through tomorrow. Fly home tomorrow night.
All right. So just but you've been there all week?
No, just a couple days. Next week's my big travel week. I hit Boston, then I'm in Dallas for 2 days, and then I fly up to Indy for the major event of the year.
Okay. Oh yes, the major event, the meetup. Let's just segue into that. So, this is September 12th, and we are getting ready for the meetup on September 21st, 2013. So, if it's after that, just fast forward about 2 minutes. But we're getting together on. Hey, Greg, I'm getting a little bit of background noise from you. Just mute when you're not talking. That'd be helpful because I pick up everything. Very cool. We are in Indianapolis. Kevin's coming out. Andrew is not. We couldn't get Christian out there. We couldn't get Greg all the way from Vegas either. That was a little bit of a distance to get him out to the meetup. But we have almost 70 guys at this point scheduled to join us in Indianapolis. It's going to be a great meetup and a good time. And if you're anywhere close to Indianapolis and you're listening to it this week, there's still a few spots open. I think we can do about 90 before the fire marshal sends us away. So if you want some details on that, homeservershow.com, and look in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see information on the meetup. You can get signed up and still join us if you'd like to do that. Dave, guys, I got to be honest. And you know what I found out the other day? Dave actually listens to my podcast, which I thought for a long time he had just blown me off. But Dave has done an amazing job getting ready for this meetup. I mean, this guy has done just some amazing work. Stuff, there's no way I could have helped him as much as I needed to. But he's got big sponsors. We're giving away Synology boxes. We've got software to give away. We're giving away a couple copies of from the Office Maven. We're giving away four $100 gift certificates from his site. I think everybody's going to walk away with something. So it's going to be a great meetup. Indianapolis, September 21st. We'll do some live stuff from there as well. So stay tuned to homeservershow.com. You know, we'll have that for you as well. So, Kevin, it'll be great to see you out there.
Yep, absolutely.
A couple things, a couple housekeeping items. One, and usually I like to keep these to the end of the show, but it's important enough to get them up front. One is we've moved our music, the pre-music to that we do at 7 p.m. Central. We've moved that to Groove Shark. So just to be legal, we were playing music across live stream, and that's not legal. So we stopped doing that. We created a Groove Shark broadcast account, and now if you go out to theaverageguy.tv/music an hour before the show, you can join in. The cool thing about Groove Shark, and this is a great tech item, the cool thing about Groove Shark is that if you, you can share music with people. So like tonight we had 8 or 9 folks in the room listening to music. There's a chat room associated with it, and you can actually suggest music to the DJ. That would be me. And if enough people vote it up, I'll play it. If I like it, I'll play it. It's my decision what we do. So just let's not be understanding about that. I'm going to decide what we play. But that being said, a lot of great music suggestions, and if you want to join us for the pre-show, Groove Shark. If you're one of those kind of music guys and you're doing a music subscription, actually on the PC, Groove Shark is free. And so you can play just about anything. They have licenses for just about all kinds of music. Check that out, Groove Shark, GROOVESHARK.com. Groove Shark, check it out. And we'll do that for pre-show from here on out. Again, theaverageguy.tv/music. All right, Brian Mystic Geek Burgess came out tonight, and I know he wants to talk a little bit of Windows Phone. We talked about this a bunch last night on Surface Geeks. I joined Dave McCabe out there for a good part of the podcast on Surface Geeks, but I wanted to bring it up on my show. I did mention it last week, but we've been using all week. I've been out using the Lumion 520. I picked up off of AT&T. It's part of their AT&T Go phone device. You can buy them locally anywhere here in the United States. You can buy those at a local AT&T store for $99. Yeah, $99. Okay, that's not like $99 in a contract. That's $99 and it's yours, right? No contract. I do have the AT&T SIM in it, required to make things work, but I don't have to use it. I've put zero money, guys, on this phone, and it works great. Now, can't make phone calls. I don't get text messages, but I don't care because I've got service on my Android phone. But it does everything else. Navigates, can check email anytime I'm within range of Wi-Fi. I can get service on that. So if you're looking for a Windows phone, Brian and I have been going back and forth on this in just the various features. It lacks... There's no flash on this thing, so you can't turn it into a flashlight. That's the number one use for the flash on your phone, right, is that flashlight when you need it. So you have to turn that around and do the front screen for the flashlight if you're going to do it that way, kind of the poor man's. And just a 5-megapixel camera and no front-facing camera. But that's really just a few limitations. Otherwise, it has the full Windows Phone 8 software on it. And if you were interested in trying out Windows Phone and you know how to spare Benjamin, not a bad deal. Guys, anybody thought about picking one of those up? I know we've been talking about it in the community for a couple days to a week. Any thoughts? Except Andrew?
I've got the 8X myself, so I'm sticking with that.
So you're on Windows Phone already, right, Greg?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. And liking it? I mean, that's... You're,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's working well.
Yeah, how long have you had that?
Oh, that's been a year and a half or so.
Okay.
Pretty much right when it came out.
Yeah, no, it's been, I like it. I like Windows Phone. It's an easy phone to use. It's kind of, you know, some of the debate has been, you know, Android gives you every single option known to man. So, you know, every screen has another screen, and you can just, you know, get down to the pixel options. Where Windows Phone is more kind of like, all right, here's your three most important options. You know, don't get granular with it. Just pick one of those and be done kind of thing, right? Do you find that, Greg? Do you find that to be the experience on the Windows Phone?
Yeah, it for the most part, does a lot of what I need. It was, you know, it's got a Synology, some Sonos. Well, the Sonos app is somebody else's third party, but the Synology apps work good on there and that sort of thing. So they're coming around. They're getting some of what I need.
Yeah, they are getting there. It's a great way. You know, Brian was saying it's a great way to get into Windows Phone without a huge commitment. If you wanted to give it a try, it's out there. It's just if it works for you, it's a good way to give it a shot. Somebody asked me, does it work with the Zune software? Windows Phone 8 actually has its own. It looks like Zune. It's not Zune. I mean, that Zune software is kind of going away. I don't know, Brian. Maybe you can answer that. I don't know what happens if you have the Zune software and you try and I don't think it'll recognize the Windows 8 phones. There's new software for that. At least that's what loaded when I plugged my phone into my computer, and I have Zune software on here, so it didn't automatically.
That music app gives you 10 hours of free play, like Spotify and that sort of thing, so you can get 10 hours there. You know, I think there's a Spotify app. I'm pretty sure there is. Of course, you can do the podcast on it.
Yeah, well, I've been using the heck out of I've been using the heck out of the podcast app, so you can see that there. You know, it's just that you load them up in the store, and they show up in the Xbox Music, application, and work great. So if you're a podcast listener, easy. You don't need another app. You don't need anything else to do. You can just do that. Facebook app, Twitter app, those are all native. They act like Android does.
Okay. You know, I control the Nest on this thing. I control my alarm system from this thing. And then the Sonos from it. I mean, the Synology. Sonos is the only one that's not there yet.
You're using the Phonos app?
No, actually, I don't need to because I go through the Synology.
Okay.
And it'll play to my Sonos speakers.
Yep.
I freak the wife out. I turn it on from work, and she's like, God bless it. You turn it on. I would play it. I put the wrong thing.
You're getting like Mike Howard. Speaking of Mike Howard, we 3 weeks ago now, we recorded at the end of the show, at the post show, we recorded about an 8 or 9 minute segment where Mike Howard goes through the software implementation of the Nest thermostat. So if you're interested in seeing a quick 8 minute demo, not necessarily of the Nest thermostat, but of the software you use. In this case, it's the web app that you use to access the services that are on the Nest. He demos that, so it's a good way to go through it if you want to see what it looks like. I know we've seen a lot of how that thing works. There's videos of it changing color on your wall and those kinds of things. This is him logging in. He has two of them. You have Greg, you got one too, right?
Just the one, yeah. I have just the one you see.
He's got a thermostat upstairs and a thermostat downstairs, and during the show you see those things running and they're actually turning on and off as they're reaching the right temperatures, and there's some scheduling things that he talks about. And he too, when he first got the Nest, he would log in from work and mess around with the temperature controls, you know, during the day as he was doing stuff.
You know, I know a lot of people talk about it, access to all the different things they use in their house through one central, you know, GUI or whatever, but if the front of my phone is where I can get to everything, it's serving that same purpose, you know, with the Synology, the Nest. If it's all there in an app, I know no different.
So. Yeah, for sure. No, so it's pretty cool. So head out to the, we have a post out there, theaverageguy.tv, and I think it's the second one down now, but just you can search for Nest, and that'll show up, that video will show up. You can watch that on our YouTube channel as well, theaverageguy.tv/YouTube. Okay, one more. We did post we were talking about the Tech Scholarship Fund, and Kyle Wilcox, one of our listeners, currently has a mini Android device. It really is no bigger than this Chromecast, and he is testing that out for PC replacement purposes. So if you're interested in joining in that discussion and see, can you take an Android app and replace a PC with it? That's his goal that he's trying to prove. He's got a 2 or 3 post series that's going to go on over the next couple weeks. Post 2 is already in the hopper. Post 1 is out there. Head over to theaverageguy.tv. It's posted at the very top right now, but then again, it may, by the time you listen to this, it may have moved down a little bit. So take a peek out there. And Kyle, thanks for doing that. I'm interested in the very first post. He talks about why he's trying to do it and what he's setting up. So kind of interesting. We ordered that thing from China. It's not even available here in the United States. It took 2.5 weeks for it to get over here. And I'm really interested in what he finds. So head out to theaverageguy.to take a peek. All right, Kevin, let's talk a little IFA because I know you've been following that. I don't even know what it is. So tell me, what is IFA 2013? It sounds like a soccer tournament.
Well, it's the IFA is the – actually, I don't even know what the acronym stands for, but it's the big electronics kickoff show in Europe. This year it was in Germany, and you know, a lot of technology is introduced there. And it seems like things get introduced there prior to seeing them come to the U.S., but Samsung had a huge show, as did and Asus as well, so a lot of new technology. If you watch the media at all, Samsung's got their watch coming out, the Galaxy Gear watch. Sony's got one as well. Lots of good tablet stuff coming out, so it's nice to see some technology advancements and enhancements coming.
Hey, can we talk about the watch for a second? I don't get this. All of a sudden, it seems like everybody, I mean, the Pebble was out there for a while, and now it seems like everybody's gone nuts with the watch. Seriously? I mean, are we, I stopped wearing watches. I got a phone that has got the time on it, you know. Is anybody serious about picking up a watch?
No.
Christian, are you at all serious about picking up a watch?
I mean, it's a little bit like Star Trek trendy, so it appeals to my geek side like a little bit, but then it's like practicality. It's like no money.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Kevin.
Well, and the functionality of it, too, a lot of the, at least in Samsung's world, it's kind of meant to tie into your phone. So a lot of the information that you see on the screen of the watch is telling you you got text messages or telling you there's voicemail. So it's giving you, it's kind of just an extra display function. So I'm still out there on what it is, but I think... At the same time, Intel had some announcements about their new Quark processor and these new just ultra-tiny chips they're coming up with. So I think it's a transitional product. It's to kind of see what can be done, what interest there is. I'm actually a little more interested at CES this year. I happened to ride over to the show with some guys who had a wristband kind of product that was more from a health monitoring point of view. They could take your pulse, your blood pressure, and I think they were working on something to actually do like a blood sugar sensor from a diabetic point of view. So, you know, those type of technologies, you know, we're getting so much compute power. You know, think if you could give a watch to somebody and it could monitor some of their health stats and then feed those back.
Yeah, iHealth, I think, has one.
Yeah.
Your heart rate while you're working out and stuff. Why don't we just take one of those workout bands that you put your phone in and just wear it on your wrist?
That's not out of the question either.
Andrew?
Just wonder how much more antisocial our society is going to get before we start disconnecting ourselves.
Yeah, disconnecting completely.
Yeah, you know, I'm having discussions almost on a daily basis with friends about, you know, how do we stop our kids getting on the net after 8 o'clock at night? You know, how do we set schedules on our internet connectivity? How do we behaviorally change this expectation that our kids go to school, spend all day with their friends, come home, and the first thing they'd have to do is get online and start talking to them again? You know, things like that. It's like, moving to the back of nowhere with no connectivity to anything is very appealing.
Yeah, and I know where you're at. I mean, you're the dad of a couple kids that are young, and you're thinking about, you know, you're thinking about that. I, on the other hand, I'm at the end of that road for the most part. For the most part, my boys, my three oldest, are mostly gone. I've got two still at home. And I used a software called Enough, ENUFF, and that was the kids were restricted to one computer. Enough was a client base. Who has ICQ in the background? That's what I want to know.
That's my notification on my my Android phone for incoming text messages.
That takes me back a whole decade, Andrew. I just want to tell you I appreciate that. But
I could rant on ICQ for about 3 hours because they changed my password on my account. And to reset it, they want someone who I correspond with regularly on ICQ to make a phone call to Russia so that they'll reset my password.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
No,
you definitely don't want to do that. Well, you know, as far
It's a big challenge, the whole internet thing. You know, kids are becoming very, very antisocial. They don't know how to have a conversation. You know, they'll sit there, and I've got friends who are in the same boat, you know. You'll be out to dinner, and they're sitting like this when they're talking to you. And it's like, come on, seriously, do you want to talk to me, or do you want to talk to your phone? Because if you want to talk to your phone, go somewhere else and do it.
My 7-year-old just walked down the hall with her Kindle in her hand, and I'm like, put that down, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Christian.
That's kind of different if you're reading a book, but if you're having a conversation with someone in a different part of the city or world or whatever, you know, give it a rest. And one of my kids' friends told me, one of my friend's kids the other day told me, I hate you because you told Dad how to stop us getting on the internet at night.
Yeah, well, I locked my kids down a lot. I mean, and at one point I had the router automatically shut off at midnight. That kind of, you know, so from midnight to 3, it would just shut off, right, or midnight to 2 or whatever, and they'd have to go to bed. You know, then I can stay up for 2 hours. I did have one of them go to bed at midnight and then wake up at 2 one time. Now, what's amazing to me is sleep deprivation covers a multitude of sins at times. And so, you know, you get them, you know, I've got my 16-year-old right now. It's pretty, we don't tell him when he has to go to bed, but he pretty much, you know, he's rolling into bed. He doesn't want to be tired at school. So he polices my daughter, just goes to bed at 9:30, but she's done. I mean, she's in bed. We don't have to enforce those rules at all. So we've kind of, I think we've kind of got to that. Christian, I want to throw it to you, though. You're in that generation. You're a tech guy. You're all in that. I don't think you're antisocial at all.
No, I mean, it's really a balance. And actually...
Quit it, Andrew.
I mean, for me, when I was growing up as like a very young kid, I mean, I always had to be in bed by like 8 o'clock. And that was like up until I was like 7 or 8 years old. It was like, if you weren't in bed at 8, like bad things were going to happen, right? But really the reality is by the time you get to high school, so much of your work is online with typing essays and doing the dummy research projects they push you through. And I ended up spending a fair amount of time on the computer that was actually purely school-related late at night because I was doing a lot of other stuff. Clearly, if I had router restrictions at midnight, I would not know half of what I know right now. That being said, if you don't know how to manage your time and find 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night, it's gonna crush you anyway. So, and I've learned that before because I've stretched that outer bound. But interestingly enough, there are people who will, you don't really, it's rare that you find someone that balances it well. Either someone's all stuck into the social media craze and they're just trolling the networks, or you find someone who completely finds social media revolting and doesn't use it at all. It's rare you find someone that uses it a little bit, but then they're doing a little bit of schoolwork, a little bit of tech work. And I mean, a lot of the computer science guys here are, you know, up coding till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on stuff that's not even related to class at all. I mean, sometimes they are, but there's just kind of a large variety. But if you don't develop those good kind of tech habits and sleeping habits when you're in high school, you have no prayer when it comes to college, because you're not going to know what to do with yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew, I do understand what you're saying. You know, somehow we went from watches to antisocial, but that being said...
Well, no, that's because if you move your life from your phone to your watch, you're still... Yeah. You're still in the same boat, right? And yeah, I think Christian, you know, you're a very different case, Christian, because you're, and we've all talked about this in the past, you're exceptionally well adjusted for someone in your generation. And I think what I observe in what I do working with people in the IT industry is that you're either really, really well adjusted, or you're just a total introvert that doesn't get it. Yeah. And you know, you've got the balance where you get it.
No, and there's people like that. I mean, college campuses, I always joke with my friends that there's not one college campus in the U.S. that teaches computer science as a major that doesn't have at least 50% of their CS students like completely in this like crazy box where it's like, you know, who put you in this state, you know? They're just like they're insular, they can't communicate, they dress funny, they talk to you funny, and you try and loosen them up a bit and they just get all weird. I'm not trying to sound, you know, profiling or demeaning or anything, but every college I've been to where I've seen their computer science department, there are just always those stereotypical people who fit that profile, and it's a large percentage. And the other interesting thing is, I don't know what this really speaks to yet, but why is it that in engineering the ratio between males and females have pretty much leveled out somewhere around 50? I mean, it has definitely improved significantly. There's a lot more girls in engineering than there was a couple of years ago. But in computer science, whoa, it's still like 90% guys, and maybe if you have double digit female participation in your CS program, you have like banners plastered on your university that's like, we're a woman CS program, and you know, we have our woman alliance program, and it's like, well, yeah. So I think there's something about guys in general that are much more prone to being those introverted, weird whatevers that, I mean, I've seen girls like that, but definitely not as far and as frequent as guys in computer science.
Look at the show, right? I mean, it's all of us guys,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you start looking at all the podcasts, and especially, you know, you're such an anomaly here, Christian, because most of the hosts on here are my age, right? Look at the demographic here, right? You don't fit our demographic, but yeah, you still come. I should ask you why at some point, but we love having you, so don't go away. But there's some. I think what you're getting at is there is something to that. We kind of, as guys, we kind of gravitate towards this. And and you know what's funny is we're not really being antisocial here, right? I mean, this is the, you know, Andrew, to just maybe differ a little bit with you on this point.
Our wives would differ.
Maybe we're being antisocial at the local level, but we're being anything but antisocial right now. Think about this. There's 15, 20 people out in chat. There's probably, there's a handful on YouTube watching us, but we'll get 1,000 people to watch us during the week. That's not really antisocial in that sense. But I'm not trying to argue with you. I get what you're saying. But it's interesting that we as guys get together in this medium, and there's a lot of guys. Go out on Google Plus right now. Look at the Google Plus Hangout. And there's, you know, Kevin, when we did that exercise just a few minutes ago, man, there's a boatload of podcasts going on right now. And I guarantee you, if you go to the tech ones, they're all guys, you know? Not all of them. I'm sure there's some gals out there. But, Christian, you're right. We see that, too, in the business world as we try to recruit gals to, you know, we're trying to get Kevin. I mean, I'm sure you see that in your industry as well.
But I mean,
absolutely. We're always trying to hire out of IT and find technical folks, and there's not that many gals in IT these days.
Yeah, we need to do a better job of getting more. Christian, we cut you off. What were you going to say?
Do you think it's because they, like, aren't interested in the topic, or because they don't want to be associated with that stereotype that we have built around computer science?
Yeah. Well, I think what's going to happen here is the stereotype's breaking down. So we are starting to see some TV shows now that have girl geeks on them where they're cool, right?
Yeah.
And that's really what it takes, is it's going to take a few role models out there, because I think up, you know, for the last decade, there have not been any very solid tech role models to say, you know, you look at a Cali Lewis to say, being tech is cool. And so these gals, they're making these decisions in 7th and 8th grade now not to go down these paths. And we need to do a better job of influencing them there in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade time frame.
Right.
Greg, how old are yours?
My kids?
Yeah.
Let's see, 19 and 7.
Okay, so your 7-year-old is in those early stages of starting to make some decisions about what she wants to be when she grows up, right? I mean, it's scary to think they do it that early.
Well, let's just say she does use tech. I mean, she's got her own cell phone, her own Kindle, and she's got my old HP TC4200 and tablet to twist to. You know, so she's techie.
She's probably got a better chance of being a tech, you know, being technical than your 19-year-old, because I think, right? They're more exposed to that kind of, to the technology and there are some better role models.
Yeah, in my family, my wife's, she works in the science field in criminologist, and then, I'm in the techie, so, yeah, my daughter's going to get one or the other.
Support STEM either in your local schools or my college's alma mater is very heavy into STEM and focused on girls probably ages 9 through preteen. Lots of programs, lots of things going on.
Yeah, you know, we part of my job at Gallup is to help the community build in Omaha, the Omaha area here. And actually we're going to start a Nebraska STEM podcast where we interview all the STEM organizations in town. I can do one a week for 10 years and to highlight what's going on with STEM, and not just STEM, Kevin, but to get women involved in that.
Yep.
Gals involved in that as well, and so we just need to open up those opportunities to, you know, other Jim was saying out in chat, books like Math Doesn't Suck and Girls Get Curves help with that age bracket for girls as well. I don't know either one of those books, but there are things that where we can get gals excited about the sciences, the you know, technology, the math, the engineering degrees that are out there. Christian, you're saying the engineering degree, though, is doing pretty well at Maryland, where it's kind of maybe 50-50?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot more girls in, like, the gemstone engineering program here than what people would typically think. So, and in comparison, there actually are a fair amount of girls in the cybersecurity program as well, but the computer science major is where you see a huge drop-off.
All the guys. Greg, you said you gave Math Doesn't Suck to your oldest?
Yeah, that was probably when she was 13.
Really? And did it have an impact?
Not as much as me sitting her down in front of the computer and giving her Office and making her write in Word and, you know, do spreadsheets in Excel.
Yeah. Well, this you make a great point, and we're not this podcast has gone a completely different direction than I thought it would. But this is great. I'm glad we're talking about this because we're all dads here now at this point, Christian, you know, withstanding. But the we've got kids, and I think it's important. I've spent a lot of time talking to my kids about tech, and not all of them have gone down that route, but I do, as much as I podcast, I do spend time with them talking about doing tech with them and those kinds of things. Kevin, how old are yours?
My daughter's 8.
Okay, so you're in the same boat.
Yep.
Yeah, you are. And Andrew's are young, so he's still got some time before that.
It's going to be hell when we get there. They're gonna be wired up. They're gonna have a bloody Ethernet cable hanging out of their butts, I reckon.
Well, but you know what? I think the key as parents is not to try not to try and forbode it, right? Not to try and make it forbidden, but to find out how to use it in our favor, like to help them. Christian, I think this is where Christians excelled. Is I think Gary got that. And Gary understood that tech was going to be very, very important and that Christian had a propensity for it. And so he encouraged you. Christian, I mean, you guys used to do stuff together, right? I mean,
most days after I'd get back from school, even through high school, really. But, I mean, since I was a kid, I'd come home, drop off my books, get homework out of the way, and then head down to the basement and start working on them with stuff from, you know, fixing my box with the 15th reformat of the year because I had done something wrong, or you know, figuring out networking and all that. So I mean, I've spent more hours in the basement of that house than probably any other location. So I mean, we just
with your dad, right?
It was a homebrew. It was a homebrew IT lab for Garrett, for my dad and I. So it's really I would not even have the opportunity to be where I am now without having that background, especially because trying to get any kind of computer IT education in elementary or high school is slim to impossible. So and then starting at such a young age is really a huge factor, especially if you can start at 5 or 6. Yeah, you might not know what's really going on for the first couple of years, but you're just getting that exposure. And I mean, I started doing, you know, real stuff around 10, 11, which is really, I would say, that's a really good entry level for anyone who's serious about this stuff as a career to be getting involved with. And, you know, I've seen, you know, so there's the wizards, right? There's, you know, the 8-year-old iPhone programmer who sold that game that made like $2 million from downloads. And you will see occasionally some people who are under double digits in age who have done very well from themselves doing these kinds of things. And I really think the scary part in saying that is I think there's a lot more of those kids out there that have the potential to be exactly like that, but they just don't have the exposure level or the resources to actually experiment and play on. So like a big disappointment for TechNet going away for me personally is that the reason why I got so good at Microsoft technologies and networking was because we could just spin up new boxes and instances and not have to worry about licensing. And that was huge in being able to build out our home network. And I mean, we're sitting with 30 IPs on at any given time. And we just ordered our second MediaSmart to be another 2012 Essentials box. And I mean, we spin up and down and all around all the time. And really not having to worry about those Microsoft licenses was a huge factor in being able to kind of build that homegrown enterprise IT environment that a lot of people, you know, it costs. Back when we were in it, like at the beginning, I mean, when you saw like the Windows Vista licensing, for the average public consumer who isn't aware about TechNet, it cost you $200 to pick up one license for one computer. That's not even a server. So, I mean, you would be spending thousands of dollars in licensing for a home testbed environment before you even got to learning anything. So that was a real big disappointment to see TechNet go away. And I imagine in part it's because of probably a lot of the abusers and the abuse cases that have taken place with those license keys, which is why they went from 10 to 5 and then the 5-3 thing, and now it's gone. But really, I think high schools have become much more receptive to getting the IT and the computer science education spinning up earlier. I know the state of Maryland is far ahead of that in comparison to my own state. They do cybersecurity competitions for the high school level and have guys doing IT, you know, starting their freshman year of high school, which is something that does not exist in where I grew up. I mean,
but that's a black hat. That's a black hat activity, right?
No, I mean they're sponsoring. They do all sorts of federal. I mean, because they're near D.C., right? So all sorts of big companies host these cyber competitions that everyone gets involved in, and it's a very prestigious thing actually to win to be on a winning team. The team that won the national cybersecurity competition last year, it was either last year or a couple of years ago. One of the top executives of Boeing walked into the winning team's booth and said, "We want to hire all of you to go to Boeing." Most of all the team was hired that day into Boeing at, you know, big starting numbers. So, but what an opportunity to think that, you know, a student in high school has the potential to, you know, start in cybersecurity club and make their way up to, you know, getting visibility by all these high profile companies. That's got to be an opportunity that more people should have access to. I mean, I didn't even have access to that particular type of opportunity, but, you know, you make your own opportunities, and I think making those making it available for people to make those opportunities would really be awesome.
Okay, I want to land that topic a little bit. It's good. It does fit the demographic of our podcast, and a lot of you guys out there that are listening, you're in your car, your dads or your moms. We probably have a few moms that listen to the podcast. And you think about your kids a lot, and I've gotten emails from folks, Christian, that have followed you over the last couple of years as we've been podcasting, and have always appreciated your kind of take on it. You know, we're all a bunch of old guys, but you've been the teen growing up with us, and now in college, and really bringing kind of a different perspective on it. So I appreciate you guys sitting through that, listening to that. That's really important to us and the things that we do here, and of course, dealing with tech and the family and all those other things that we just talked about, super, super important. So maybe at some point we'll dedicate a show, although we talk about it a bit, so yeah. I appreciate that. Kevin, I want to come back to you and just say when we talked about, we'll come back around before we get sidetracked on that. Anything you're seeing at IFA that besides the watches that is earth-shattering or shaking, or is it just kind of new releases of old stuff?
Nothing too earth-shattering. I as I kind of said with the Windows 8 based laptops, you know, we had splits and twists and flips, and you know, there's a lot of different designs around those. And it was interesting to see Lenovo bring out a refined line of the Yoga platforms. And so obviously they're seeing traction around Yoga. They're making some refinements, making some thinner, lighter weight ones. The ThinkPad version of the Yoga looked kind of neat because as you flip the top over, the keyboard actually recesses back in so it doesn't stick up and bother you. So some neat refinements from that point of view. Toshiba's got a 8-inch Windows tablet coming out that looks to be pretty nice. Good display, good resolution, good specs on it. So that'll be interesting to see that. Sony has a couple of Sony has a tablet coming out that'll be a lot like a Surface Pro from Microsoft, and Sony's got a couple of bigger all-in-one touch kind of deals as well. So I wouldn't say anything really earth-shattering. You know, most of it is evolutionary stuff that it's just good to see them refining products. And I thought it was interesting, and it might just be the way the show runs, but it wasn't so much HP and Dell. It was a lot more of Samsung, Asus, Sony, Acer. Those guys seem to be driving a lot of the innovation around tablets and PCs these days.
Yeah, Asus has certainly come on as of late. They were, you know, they used to be our motherboard manufacturer, right?
Absolutely.
We knew Asus and motherboard, and they made great motherboards when they did that, and in the last couple of years they've gotten into PCs, especially into laptops.
Yep.
And I have an Asus laptop. We talk about it all the time. I love it. A little $499 laptop $399 laptop that's just been dynamite. So pretty cool. Greg, I want to jump over to you real quick because this is something we haven't talked about a lot, but I know you were on the forefront of it, and that's that Leap Motion device that we talked about it like a year and a half ago. It finally went live. You finally got it. We watched you on Google Plus as you got it.
Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you since you got it. Talk a little bit. Now, of course, tell people what Leap Motion is just real quick because I had somebody bring this up the other day as well.
Yeah, it's a small unit that sits in front of you, basically. And you're given, let's say, 2 cubic feet or so above it to use your hands for a lot of different apps. Some of them you can utilize to control the start screen of Windows 8 and that sort of thing, and a lot of other things. That's most useful, I think, in the tile area. But, you know, they've got quite the store growing, too. And I was playing Cut the Rope, you know, with it and stuff like that with my kiddo the other night. Because I had, when I first got it, I put it away. Just because of time constraints, and then I've had a week or a day or two, I should say, to break it out and work with it. You know, they've touted it's really great on like Google Earth and stuff, and so I brought that or opened that up yesterday working with it. And it's hard. I get the world spinning and I can't stop it, so I'm using my hands to try to hold it. And it's
you got the whole world in your hands, huh?
Yeah, you know, you can use your hands to like left and right. You know, so I'm using it to pause it. It's neat, you know, like a lot of people say, the hardware's, I think, going to stay the way it is. Where they're going to improve it is with the software for it.
Now, it doesn't work natively, right? The applications have to be written?
Correct. You have to use their applications for it. They have one that's called Windows something or other, and you start that, and then it'll incorporate. A lot of them are games.
So Windows works out of the box, right? It's got the right drivers for Windows, right?
Yes. Yeah, you plug it in. They have a site where you hit Leap Motion /forward/start or something, and it will load the app in. You know, it'll load it on there.
Right. It's basically drivers.
One of those,
right?
Yeah, it's drivers. Yeah. I'd say it's one of those items that you don't go give to your mom or your grandmother. You need to be techie to get it going. You know, everybody here, of course, would you know get a kick out of it, but it's got its learning curve for sure, and. Final Frequency 79 at Best Buy. I think it was 79 or 69 with like an $8 shipping back when it was on their site. But so the price looks like it's already dropped back down to what it was.
Certainly has not gone flying off the shelves at this point. I mean,
no, I would have to say there's probably a stress level of getting to use it. Probably some probably went back in my opinion. You know, I had that option and I thought no, I'm too much into tech to. To do that, I will hang on to it until I get it right. You know? And my idea is eventually, once I do learn it, to put it in front of my 7-year-old and let her use it. You know,
it'd be interesting to see how the kids respond to that, how the younger kids respond to it, if it's just available to them, if they start interacting with the PC that way.
It's a whole, that's the whole thing we were talking about. I give my wife, I let her work with 8.1, and she says, I like this, but it's getting used to where something was even from 8. And I said, but hand it to Jacqueline, my youngest. And she doesn't know anything even, 7 related. She just knows 8. And so that's what she's familiar with. And, so same thing, we put a leap in front of her, give her a few minutes, she'll figure it out. It's always the yell for daddy, how come I can't stop the
Why can't I stop the earth from spinning? I find the kids don't stress over it like the adults do, right?
No,
they make a game out of it. And if they can't figure it out, they'll just mess around with it till they do. They don't freak out like, I've got to get the grocery store list done or whatever. They're just like, oh, hey, this is kind of cool. Let me just spin this some more or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Exactly they'll make it make funny ICQ sounds or stuff like that, just to have fun with it. So it's one, Andrew.
Uh-oh.
they love stuff like that. Your review, if you're gonna give it some stars, how many do you give it? And then is there room for growth?
There's room for growth, yeah. Out of 10, let me give it a 5 for easeability, right out of the box. It's got a learning curve to it to get any more stars from me. As far as what I believe its potential is, it's being able to use it on a non-touch screen and turn it into one. I mean, simple things like that. I mean, that's its simplest use, obviously, but the list in that store is just huge. They have anatomy things, the Google Earth and simple games. I mean,
so it is a big. There are quite a few apps that are enabled for that.
Yes, quite a few.
Because I'd heard there weren't many at all.
It's literally growing daily, I would think.
Okay.
Every time I look in there, I'm like, oh, they have that now? Oh,
So they have a store that's constantly updated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the same, they used to tease Microsoft, there's a couple hundred in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, they're growing, and it's, without a doubt, their forum's huge, so.
Are you using it at all on a regular basis, or is it kind of just a...
Let me put it this way. It was put away while we did the move. I just literally broke it out probably 2 weeks ago, and have probably used it 3 days out of the 2 weeks, just sitting in the evening, okay, let me try this again. And that's why I was laughing yesterday. Like, I can't stop the earth, But then I brought my kiddo, came in, and, Daddy, what are you waving your arms for? And I put on the cut the rope, and we were here for a half hour. So
goofing around with that.
Yeah, and it works great on a game.
It would cover a wide screen. I mean, if you had a 27-inch or a 30-inch screen,
yeah,
it would cover...
easily. So it's probably, I don't know if you can see the distance, in front of me, it's this range. Probably where my hand is, you can see that in the screen. So that's probably the height that I'll get out of it, using my hands. So
if you're watching the audio, head over to theaveragegamer.tv/YouTube and you can see Greg waving his hands around.
Yeah, it's basically 2 cubic feet in front of you. That's the best way to look at it.
Any have you used the Kinect at all with the Xbox?
Yeah, we have that in the living room. And
any better or worse experience with the Xbox?
A lot of... Well, it has a program that it actually shows you the points that it's picking up in the hands on the on the leap, and it literally sees all 5 fingers. I think it sees the Kinect. I think it sees you as nubs. I don't know that it individualizes the fingers, but
yeah, the new one that comes out with the Xbox One has way better resolution, but
okay.
I think the old one. So just interesting how the experience would compare across. Guys, any questions for Greg on that? We talked about it. It didn't really take off. Any questions? All right, I'll take that as an overwhelming.
it's overwhelming. Niche.
Yeah.
It's niche.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it a lot during, of course, the release of Windows 8 because things had gone touch, and so this was kind of a replacement for 8 that didn't have, where we had all these monitors that were maybe not touch-enabled.
Yeah, if they could improve that, at least the Windows app for me, for the basic user, let me put it that way, the average guy, then they would benefit.
Okay, there'll be some software updates. If you get a firmware or software update or that gets better, let me know. We'll have you back on.
Yeah,
we can talk
about. Let's see, since I've had it, so for the course of the years, probably I've seen 3 firmware updates.
Okay. So well, that's not bad.
Yeah, they're one a quarter.
About once a quarter, yeah.
Yeah.
And take Christmas off.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good stuff. Well, keep us updated on that. Speaking of keeping us updated, Kevin, I want to throw back to you real quick since we got you on, and that you're the co-Gen 8 microserver master with your good buddy John Stutzman, and you guys will be presenting at the meetup on the Gen 8. Some updates on the Gen 8. I think most of us know what that is. Of course, that's the HP microserver Gen 8 new box that's come out. We'll have some links in the show notes. Any updates on that ecosystem? Anything new there?
Trying to think what we've talked about in the past. What I hope to have ready for the meetup is Gen 8 with Windows Home Server running on it, Home Server 2011. I've got that up and running. I went ahead and basically what I'm doing, so the microserver has spots for 4 hot swappable drives or 4 swappable drives. I put in a HP 212 RAID controller to run those, and then I'm using the onboard RAID controller, the B120 that comes built into the box to run a pair of mirrored boot drives. So I can run a RAID 5 on the whole 4 drive set and then run the other 2 boot drives. And that's using my custom manufactured drive bracket, which, oddly enough, I just got an email from a sheet metal factory giving me costs for what it might cost to produce those, should I opt to produce those. We'll talk about that more at the session. The thing I'm just starting to play with on that box, and for Andrew and other folks out there who have spent a lot of time with ILO on HP servers, it's pretty cool. I mean, the amount of data and that sea of sensors, it plots you out a nice little topographical map of the hot spots inside of the server, and you get some good basic functionality with it. You can also buy license keys from HP to take it up to ILO Essentials and ILO Advanced. ILO Advanced adds in some really cool stuff, but it's like $400 for that license key. But oddly enough, Amazon, eBay, there seems to be a ton of ILO Advanced keys for around $40. So I risked the $40, and it works. And
is that gray market, Kevin?
No, these are HP employees. these are brand new sealed envelopes. It's not a license key burned off on a disk. It's a sealed envelope.
It's the real deal, is what you're saying.
It's the real deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So what tends
to happen there is in the enterprise world, everyone uses the same key to activate everything, and then they take their big stack of envelopes like this and they chuck them on Craigslist or Grays Online or eBay or something like that.
So the feature in advance that I want to get to, and there are several different ways to get to doing this, is the whole notification. I want my machine to send me an email if a drive dies or if something happens. And ILO didn't really do that kind of reporting in the past, and the advanced module does that. There's an email alert function built into the advanced. So that's my next big thing to experiment with. If that doesn't work, there's been a couple of good threads over on the home server area that talks about setting up notifications. I did it one time in the past using Spiceworks, and that worked pretty good. And one of the guys did some great legwork over on home server, kind of updating that. So I think home server 2011 still got a lot of legs left in it. Wanted to make sure that it was fully functional on new hardware, and I'll probably have one more surprise to show at the meetup.
The meetup, you got to be at the meetup to see it, huh? Hold off on that. Don't
absolutely.
Say it.
Absolutely. I'm not going to break it. Not going to break
deal
it here.
Only.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, that's cool. Andrew, any thoughts? Do you get to mess around with that at all?
We haven't seen a G8 in the office yet. We've seen a lot of the N54s and the from the previous generations. The last time we spoke about the G8, I sort of, for me, it's gone on the back burner because I can't use RAID 5 natively without buying another controller board. So I'm waiting for the ML310E to come down on staff pricing, and I might go that way. But I'm struggling big time with home server at the moment. It's not doing what I wanted to, or it's not playing nicely. It's frustrating me, so I'm ignoring it.
it's like teenagers, right? If they get out of hand, just ignore them. You mentioned the 310. Is that the HP 310? Is that really the next model up, or it's not the micro, right? It's just kind of their entry grade.
It's like a MIDI tower, yeah.
Yeah. It's their entry grade. Price wise, are they pretty similar between the Gen 8 and the 310s?
Nah, they're about a grand.
Oh, they're that expensive.
Yeah, so it's a significant jump up, but you get a fair bit more box for your money.
They have a rack mount, I think it ends in 547. It's a Gen 8 one for the rack, and it holds just a pair of drives, so you've got to, set up an ice cozy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been kind of spying. They have a version 2 that's, in the, I'd say, $700 range, and then they have the version 3 with that, the default RAID card, the B120, I think you said, Kev?
Yep.
That one is in the $900 range. And then if you want to get the 222 in there, I think it'll get up to 14. But that's the version 3. I think it's the E3 in there, or E5 in there. But pretty much same specs.
It's E3 1200 V3.
Okay.
The family, yeah.
Well, I was looking at the 1240, actually, was the one I was...
Yeah, the advantage is it's a lot more configurable too, the 310E. So maximum memory straight out of the chute's 32 gig. It's got 4 memory slots, and you can get 2 different drive cages for it. So you can get a 3.5-inch drive cage that'll take 4 disks, or you can get a 2.5 that'll take 8. Mm-hmm. So you can, if you're a storage whore like a lot of us are, then you can definitely get a lot more. Capacity into these boxes without having to break out a Dremel or, another enclosure on the outside.
Zadler it. Are these SAS or SATA drives?
Either.
Either or. Yep. What do you, Kevin, you're kind of a hard drive guy. What do you prefer?
SATA are always the price leaders. I probably do a lot of shopping to try and track down SAS drives just because of the older HP controllers that I tend to use, the 410 and the 212. If you run SATA drives, they run at SATA 2 speed, 3 gig. If you run SAS drives, they'll run at 6. So when I can afford them and find them affordably, SAS drives tend to be a little better manufactured and a little better built, but it's splitting hairs these days.
Yeah. That's where it might be handy to do the SAS, for the OS, and like the rack thing I was looking at. It only carries the 2, so if those were SAS at 6, then my iSCSI, like the, whatever RAID you're running on the side, then you can use the SATAs in that.
Tim says his Rocket RAID uses SAS to SATA, SAS to SATA cable.
The splitter cable.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a breakout cable.
So I've got a 2860, Rocket RAID 2860, and it's got two connectors on it. Are those SAS connectors?
Yep.
Okay, and so then it's got that 4 cable that goes to SATA.
Right.
Is that right?
This does break out, yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. Okay. Just for the average guy. This is the average guy podcast, after all. Kevin, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just, I think everybody expects me to have some kind of a hot deal or something. If the Shell Shocker right now at Newegg is a Crucial 128 gig SSD. It's a refurb for $65.
There you go.
Do not be afraid of refurbs, especially on SSD drives, because they're just circuit boards anyway.
Yeah. No. Right on. Greg, I was giving you the screen there. So yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay.
And I've got one of those. Yeah.
Okay.
Shoot, your camera just went down for some reason. Yeah. No, we can see you. That's fine. It's just it was just the picture of you for the live stream. $65 for what's the size of that, Kevin?
128 gig, and it is a SATA 3.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal. Yeah, we were talking about this in the pre-show. definitely don't be afraid of the refurb, especially on SSD drives. I think that's where you can really pick up some good pricing. I do believe it or not, we are we're coming up to the end here, and I kind of want to come and land this thing. Oh, Greg's holding that. Hold on, Greg. What do you got there? What are you holding up?
SSDs.
Yeah, you got a Samsung.
I bought two of them to run in RAID 0 on my new laptop.
And are they in there already?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like lightning fast. Yeah.
Yeah. RAID 0 on your laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are those Evos?
No, I chose the 840 Pros.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty happy with the reports I saw on those, and I took out the factory ones that didn't even boot up. I just pulled them, swapped the two in there, went in the BIOS, went to put it into RAID again, you know, for the new drives, and then loaded the Windows 8.1 with the UEFI on it, and I think it was about a 10-minute install. I mean, it was lightning, so.
Would take very long. So very, very cool. Yeah, that's.
Unless we got 512 of it. So that's cool.
It'll just absolutely make a laptop rock and roll if you got you got a couple in RAID 0 for sure. Speaking of that, I'll be bringing my server too. I've got a Dell Precision Workstation. I've turned into a big monster server and jammed a whole bunch of drives into. That'll be coming to the meetup, and that'll have that 2860 RAID card in it, as well as I bought that IC dock. They call it the Fat Cage. That's all loaded up with hard drives. I just got Windows 2012 Essentials R2, or it's not. That's not the right way. It's a Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials loaded up on it, and actually, last night on Surface Geeks and Home Server Show, I had a Windows 8.1 VM running on there, so that will be bringing
that
out.
You can also add SAS on that 960.
Really?
Yeah, take a look up in there. You got SAS ports.
Okay, I'll take a peek.
They're the smaller ones, but you can run SAS drives in.
All right. Yeah, because it's got four. What's the?
Well, you'll see the four SATA in the front, and then in that top row up underneath. You'll see the 4 SATA, and then you'll see the 4 SAS, and then you'll see I think there's something else in there, I forget, between the two groups.
What's that SATA that comes on that board? Or not SATA, what's the RAID that comes on that board?
LSI.
LSI. And that's easy, super easy to work with. That I think so, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it is.
You can get that, Crimini, I can't remember the name of it. There's another piece of software. I emailed it to you a while back. Where you don't have to go into the BIOS to do it, you can manage it from
I might need to dig that back out again, because
it's awesome.
Tore that server up and down a bunch of times since
then. Let's see if I can find the name.
Trying to get
it
stable. At this point, I'm just trying to get it stable so I can transport it from Omaha to Indianapolis for the show. So, well, hey guys, hang tight on that. We'll stay around for the post show a little bit. I want to see real quick, Christian, do you have anything that from last week or anything else, any quick things you needed to cover? I didn't see any Christian Corner notes, so I didn't go to them, but any quick items?
First up, I'm sure that my homebrew track will make it as the outtake for the front of the show.
Okay, all right. If you're requesting that, I'll make sure that happens.
Oh, I'm not requesting it. I just know that's what you're going to do when you start your little editing, and you're like, yeah, this is it. Let's see. Secondly, I don't really have, not too much technologically crazy has been going on.
It's been an easy week. You're just easing into school.
Yeah,
I like the NASA shirt, by the way. Good.
Yeah, the NASA shirt's kicking. I finally got all my new badges recreated there, so that's nice, because now I can get back on center.
Those kinds of badges. You mean like actual security badges that get you into buildings?
Yeah, because you have to turn
on
your
badges. Not like Foursquare badges, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, all the U.S. government, for the most part, has gone to PIV smart card badges, so that they're all biometrically encoded with like your fingerprints, and it has a little key card. And actually, at NASA, they now are mandating, they're doing a rollout where all users are required to log into their workstations with their smart cards. So they're trying to phase out username and passwords, where they're basically expected to put their smart card into a reader for security. And I mean, those things are specially encoded and bound, and have so you have the USB key to do it.
Active identity case. Yep.
Yeah. See, our badge kind of serves both purposes, right? So it has the embedded chip that does all the digital stuff, but it's also our physical badge that we need in order to get onto, the center, military bases, etc. So it's very useful to have. And when you change, whenever you change contracts and stuff, you got to get all your badges swapped out. And I've always just had a local badge. I've never had a permanent biometric badge. So they take a couple weeks to actually be created at. They get created out at Marshall, so
they grow them at Area 51.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, I saw something bizarre in the news a couple weeks ago that said like the government officially acknowledged Area 51, but I mean, like Yahoo didn't know. But
shoot, Greg goes out there every other week.
That's as a result of Snowden.
Don't say that. That's like saying Voldemort in Harry Potter. You're not allowed to say that name.
They got a little market out there. You can go buy the little Martian full of icy.
Yeah. I hear they're opening a farmer's market out there at Area 51 now. So. It's, yeah.
You got it, so is it the alien in a jar, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's a little pickled alien in a mason's jar.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, it's a whole new world we live in, guys. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, everything that's going on.
You can thank Julian Assange for that.
There you go. Yeah, for sure. Well, let me get through some housekeeping. If you made it all the way to this part of the show, one, we want to say thanks. You're the top 10% of our most engaged listeners.
You're a true hero.
Yes, I appreciate that. And we got a couple things coming up. We've been mentioning the meetup big time already, so I won't cover that again. I will mention we got a tech scholarship fund going, and if you're interested in reviewing something for me, and you can find an item, usually about $100 or less, and it doesn't have to be the hottest thing on the market either, but you just contact me, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, ask if I've got money in the bank to be able to do it, and we only can do that because you guys have been super generous about purchasing at Amazon.com. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon and you purchase, I take those dollars, I put them in a scholarship fund. If you want to review something, I'll buy it for you, I'll send it to you, you review it, couple posts on the site, come on the podcast. Even Kyle's doing that. Kyle Wilcox is doing that right now. John Zadler did that with the Kingston SSD flash drive that we put Windows to go on a couple weeks ago. That's how it works. Super simple. And then when you're done, guess what? You get to keep it. So that is a way I found to kind of give back to the community. And for some folks, they just don't have extra dollars to purchase that kind of stuff with. And so if you need a little bit of help or you want to give that a try, let me know. podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Put in the header. Tech scholarship fund.
I'd like to review a business class seat to the Home Server Show meetup.
I don't think that's $100 or less, Andrew. And would you write about it?
I could.
You would live blog all the way from Melbourne to, where would you fly in? Probably LA?
Where is it?
It's in Indianapolis. So would you come, you'd probably come to what, Denver and then come across maybe?
Yeah, Denver, St. Louis, something like that.
Something like that. So, no, I can't. I would love to be able to write you a check. Have you come over? I'd love to write Andrew a check or Christian a check. I'd love to be able to get Zadler out as well, but we just can't pull that off. So, but so maybe someday if the Amazon account goes crazy and then you can buy airline tickets on Amazon.
Oh, that's right. Everybody click as many links as you can on theaverageguy.tv.
Yes.
Skim
Links doesn't pay very well. Buy everything out at Amazon. That pays pretty well. Christian?
I just thought I'd mention as an antidote to last week that I have removed Cloudflare for 5 days on all the sites on that server, and it's been rock solid, stable, and fast again. So I'm pretty sure that SSH port was the source of instability. So for now, we're running like a champ.
Yeah, you know, Paul Breran was giving me some stats on the average guy, and I think I've got a plugin problem, a WordPress plugin problem, because it's still not very snappy. Mm-hmm. There's some parts of it that are, but I think when it's loading the plugins, it's not. So you've been
It might be the template too. Actually, I've been giving that a lot of thought because, like, for example, if you go to biostashmods.com, which the front part of BiosMods is a WordPress installation, it just pops right up. And it's on the same exact node as where the average guy is being served. And the average guy definitely has a noticeable lag over it. But
yeah, that's not the end of the world. You guys are patient.
Oh, no. I mean, it's still quick. But, yeah.
So, yeah, it's still I just noticed some plugins. So he gave me a link over at wordpress.com/plugin/. I guess it's a plugin itself called P3-Profiler.
Yeah, it'll profile, yeah.
Yeah, kind of tell you. So I'm going to run that a little bit later tonight and see if maybe I've got a rogue plugin or something that's causing problems in WordPress, and we'll give that a look. We are now on iHeartRadio, so if you're an iHeartRadio listener, you can head over there, iHeartRadio.com, and just search for Home Tech. You can also listen to Financial Tech on there as well, and those are both available on iHeartRadio. So if you're one of those listeners and you were wondering how you get the podcast automatically, check us out on iHeartRadio. We're also on Podomatic and Stitcher and Spreaker. So all those services, this podcast is out there as well if you want to listen to it. And one more reminder that the Nest review with Mike Howard is out on the site. If you want to check that out and look at the software that's available out there, Mike did a nice job of reviewing that. All right, we're available every Thursday night live. We're going to stay around for the post show, and so I'll remind you, as I do every single week, that you can't hear the post show unless you come to the live show. So come out to the live show Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, noon Eastern Australia time. I think that's right.
11
Eastern Australia time, 1 UTC, all those times. Join us. We always appreciate you guys that do come out live, but we appreciate you guys that come and listen to us in your car or on your iPod or on your iPhone or your Android device or your Windows phone or even maybe still your BlackBerry. God, I hope not.
Who has a BlackBerry?
I'm sure there's still a few people with a BlackBerry left. Kevin, you got an old BlackBerry sitting around anywhere?
We do. One laying around, not in use.
Yeah. I was going through some drawers the other day, and I found Sarah's old BlackBerry, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Why did we not turn this in for recycle way back when? But we are here every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv. If you're listening, stay around for the post show. Guys, thanks for coming out tonight. I appreciate it.
Cool.
Everybody, have a good night. Good night, everybody.
Take care.
See you later.